The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is the Bloomberg Daybreak Europe podcast, available every morning on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It's Tuesday, the 16th of April. In London, I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Coming up today, military officials in Israel vow to strike back against Iran as allies urge restraint.
China's growth beats expectations, but a strong start to the year is already fading.
Plus, the UK announces plans to criminalise the creation of intimate deepfake images. But how easy will it be to enforce?
Let's start with a roundup of our top stories.
Israel's top military commander says the country has no choice but to hit back after Iran's weekend drone and missile attack. In a speech to troops at the airbase which was targeted in Saturday night's strike, Herzi Halevi said the missiles fired into Israel will be met with a response. His comments come as US and European officials have boosted their calls to avoid an escalation. Here's what UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak told the House of Commons.
We are working urgently with our allies to de-escalate the situation and prevent further bloodshed. We want to see calmer heads prevail, and we are directing all our diplomatic efforts to that end. Yesterday, I spoke to my fellow G7 leaders. We are united in our condemnation of this attack. We discussed further potential diplomatic measures, which we will be working together to coordinate in the coming days. I will also shortly be speaking to Prime Minister Netanyahu to express our solidarity with Israel in the face of this attack and to discuss how we can prevent further escalation.
Sunak's comments echo those of French President Emmanuel Macron, who says France will do everything it can to avoid flare-ups. Meanwhile, Iran's deputy foreign minister vowed to counter any Israeli attack with a more severe, faster and more immediate blow.
In the United States, events in the Middle East mean a months-long Republican blockade of military aid for key allies could be about to end. But getting a bill over the line still isn't a done deal, as Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Speaker Mike Johnson is planning separate votes this week on new aid to both Israel and Ukraine. This in an attempt to assemble fragile coalitions to speed weaponry to both places.
We have terrorists and tyrants and terrible leaders around the world like Putin and Xi and in Iran, and they're watching to see if America will stand up for its allies and in our own interest around the globe, and we will.
Now, his party majority is very slim, and he may need Democrat support, and he very well may get it. The impasse over aid has been dragging on since October. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
China's economy grew faster than expected in the first 3 months of 2024, with GDP climbing 5.3% from a year earlier. But the surprisingly strong numbers were offset by industrial production and retail sales figures for March that were weaker than forecast. BlackRock's vice chairman Philip Hildebrand says one strong print doesn't fix underlying issues.
Over time, the challenge is going to be this domestic demand problem and, of course, the fact that China is really in deflation. So these are big challenges. And then when you look further down the line, you look at population growth and so forth, you know, you really see growth declining on a structural basis. And that's going to be a challenge going forward. So I'd say this is roughly as expected with this big caveat around domestic demand.
Philip Hildebrand added many of these challenges are far from unique to China and reflect the state of the global economy. The offshore yuan held losses, having dipped earlier after the weak PBOC fixing.
Now, the European Union is launching a fleet of trade investigations into China, saying that it has been played for years. The bloc is threatening tariffs on electric vehicles and investigating potentially illegal Chinese support for wind, solar, rail and the medical sectors. Our Greater China editor John Liu says its timing, alongside German leader Olaf Scholz's visit to Beijing, is clear.
Exports is something Beijing is hoping will be a pillar that it can depend on to get the economy going again. That's not going to work if tariffs are being put in place in Europe.
Liu adds that Scholz and Xi met earlier today, and that the German leader had said that trade would be top of the agenda. Beijing has dismissed charges that the rapid growth of its EV industry was due to government subsidies as groundless, instead pointing to its innovation prowess.
The New York Fed President John Williams still expects the central bank to cut interest rates this year. His comments come as a key US inflation measure rose by more than expected in March, prompting traders to scale back bets on cuts in 2024. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, John Williams said he expects rate reductions this year as inflation continues to gradually come down.
I think monetary policy is working at the rates that we have now. So I think monetary policy is in a good place. We will need to start a process at some point to bring interest rates back to more normal levels. And my own view is that that process will likely start this year. But again, it's going to be driven by the data and achieving our goals.
Speaking to Bloomberg's Mike McKee, Williams also pointed to strong consumer spending as evidence of the country's economic strength. His comments are somewhat at odds with those of fellow voting member Mary Daly, who says there is no urgency to alter interest rates.
Analysts had expected Goldman Sachs' first quarter profit to drop. Instead, net income rose by 28%. The impressive showing boosts CEO David Solomon, who had faced a chorus of criticism about his leadership.
We feel very good about our first quarter results, which reflect the strength of our world-class and interconnected franchises and the earnings power of our firm. This performance was aided by the swift actions we took last year to narrow our strategic focus and play to our core strengths.
Solomon also echoed other US finance CEOs' caution about the stock market's record highs. In spite of major global headwinds, Goldman Sachs' shares rose as much as 6%, the most intraday since December, before paring some of those gains.
The UK government is cracking down on explicit deep fake images online. It's part of a set of reforms aimed at preventing violence against women. Bloomberg's Tiwa Adebayo has the details.
Creating and sharing sexually explicit AI-generated images could now be punishable with jail time in the UK. That's according to the Ministry of Justice, who are aiming to stem the rise of deepfake pictures and videos made possible by rapidly developing technology. A potential new law will mean creating such deepfakes without consent, even if the images are not shared, could mean prosecution, an unlimited fine, or prison. People familiar with the matter say the government is also planning talks with big tech giants like Apple and Meta to persuade them to sign a voluntary charter granting parents more control over their teens' social media use. In London, Tiwa Adebayo, Bloomberg Radio.
And those are our top stories this morning. On the markets this hour, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index is currently down 1.8%. US stocks 50 futures also dropping 1.2%. And 10-year US Treasury yields fairly steady at 4.61% this morning.
Now, in a moment, we'll get the latest on the tensions in the Middle East, plus some analysis of those Chinese economic figures out this morning. But another story that caught our eye today, Alfa Romeo has been forced to change the names of one of its cars after it annoyed the Italian government. So the SUV was originally named Milano, but last week the industry minister hit out at the CEO of Stellantis, which owns the brand, for using the name because the car is made in Poland. So as a result, CEO Carlos Tavares has said the car is going to be renamed Junior. He said they worked over the weekend to change the name. He said it's a signal of appeasement as they have a big library of names. But it's been an issue that the company's been facing criticism over because they have been moving jobs abroad, essentially, to lower production sites.
And if you frustrate the unions and it becomes a sort of political issue, then, I mean, that's the trouble, isn't it? Because Italian workers have been striking because of the loss of jobs. So, yes, amazing what is in a name and how frustrating it can be to politicians.
Mm. They said no to Milano. Anyway, more on that story you'll find on Bloomberg.com and on the terminal. But let's go back to our top story now. And Israel is still weighing its options on how to respond to Iran's weekend drone and missile attack. European and US leaders have called for restraint, but Israeli military officials say their country has no choice but to respond. Our Middle East Breaking News editor, Patrick Sykes, is with us for more. Patrick, what do we know about the options that are under consideration by Israel?
Morning. Yes, the Israeli war cabinet met for a second day yesterday, but there's still no final position yet. Israeli officials saying, at least publicly, that, as you say, they have no choice to respond, but keeping relatively quiet on the specific options. They're also pointing out they'll respond at a time of their choosing. I think we can think about the sort of range of options on their table, from the least escalatory right through to the most, as being, you know, on the former side of the spectrum, a direct strike on something related to the Iranian weekend strike, which obviously involved missiles and drones, through to obviously Iran's nuclear program, a much longer term thorn in Israel's side, and something that it sees as an existential threat. The closer we are to the lower end of that spectrum, I think the greater the chances that this either ends there or fizzles out. The further we are to the latter, I think in turn we're going to see Iran also feel that it needs to respond, and so it continues.
Yeah, and so there have also been a lot of calls for restraint from Israel's allies, and perhaps that is weighing then, given, you know, the deliberations and how difficult they are. Is there any sign that the calls around restraint are weighing on the decision-making, weighing on Benjamin Netanyahu?
I think only in an absence, we could say, really. The only sign of that is that Netanyahu's personal tone on this has been relatively more measured compared with some of the right-wing parts of his cabinet. One cabinet member yesterday said Israel should go berserk as a deterrent to Iran from doing future strikes like that of last weekend. I mean, the odd thing here is it's kind of parallel with the Iranian position of a few weeks ago, right, when they were considering how to respond to this suspected Israeli attack on their consulate in Damascus, where you had parts of the government, the regime, officials saying that we need to act right away, we need to be really aggressive, and then others saying, hang on, we need to show restraint, we need to think about this more strategically. So I think in an odd parallel way, the fate of the whole issue is going to depend on which side of those cabinets and power dynamics win out.
Patrick, what's the latest that we've heard from Iran on this? What are they preparing for?
Yeah, their message is, and has been from the start really, has been one of deterrence, saying they're very keen to frame what they did as a one-off, not as a start of a broader conflict. They say they're not looking for a broader conflict. They also frame what they did as an act of self-defense, as I said, in reaction to that strike on the consulate. But they are at the same time given this veiled threat that if Israel does respond, then we will be forced to do so ourselves as well. And obviously it's that chain reaction risk that's the real risk here, rather than, I think, any individual strike. We had the Iranian deputy foreign minister overnight saying that they would counter any Israeli attack with a, quote, more severe, faster and more immediate blow. So, you know, rather than the last time where Iran waited, I think, around 12 days, not quite 2 weeks before undertaking its attack, he's given the impression that, you know, with each retaliation, the gaps between them are going to get shorter, and the gravity of them is only going to get greater. That's the risk.
OK, yeah, indeed, the risk. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us. Patrick Sykes is our Middle East breaking news editor.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
To China next, where the economy grew more than expected in the first 3 months of the year. Growth boosted by the industrial sector, but there were signs of weakness emerging in March. Our Asia economics correspondent, Katia Dmitrieva, joins us now for more. Katia, great to have you on. What's the good news, first of all, in these numbers?
Well, we can talk about factories. I think that was the one piece of very good, very strong news in the GDP report. Of course, growth coming in higher than any economist had forecast. And it was really led by this portion of GDP, which is a secondary market. So secondary industry is, you could think of that as factories and exports. We kind of knew that story going into these numbers because of the strong exports growth in the first first 2 months of the year, but already kind of sizzling fizzling in March. You look outside of manufacturing, though, and there isn't really much to be very happy about in the economy. Consumer side, it was particularly weak when it came to retail sales. Real estate market, also sales and prices declining further. And even on the headline GDP, you know, we look at the effect of deflation, the effect of prices kind of being lower in the past few quarters. And the GDP deflator actually was below zero again for another quarter. So this is all around, you know, the headline number is good. Factories are strong. Manufacturing demand abroad is strong, particularly in the U.S. But there are so many other headwinds this year for China.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe the economy on some thin ice. The other issue, the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has met with the Chinese President Xi after issuing this warning about overcapacity in the treatment of foreign firms. It comes as the EU is also launching all of these investigations into China. It was Margrethe Vestager who talked about, you know, the EU being played and that teaches you a lesson. I mean, that's quite a change in tone by Europe towards China.
Yeah, and these two things are, in fact, connected. When you have an economy like China that's already under a lot of pressure from the West, both the U.S. and Europe, to stop this kind of, you know, they say overcapacity issue, but what that really means is that Western nations are concerned about dumping, about China kind of inflating by helping local companies, domestic companies over foreign companies, kind of lower their prices and export these goods into markets where they're going to be competing with the U.S. and with the European companies. And so if you have an economy that's driven largely by that, and that's really the one leg on the three-leg stool, if you want to say, that's going to be supporting the economy throughout the year, of course these other countries are going to be, their ears are kind of perking up right now, probably when they saw this data and thinking, okay, what does this mean for the rest of the year? This is something that U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also mentioned, as my colleague Eric Martin reported, very same issue will be coming up at the IMF meetings.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.